Thank you all for coming this night, and those that are watching from home, thank you as well. I'm appreciative of my brother. We have so many similarities in common, and we enjoy each other's company, and I was a little bit jealous that he was able to go out and enjoy the desert yesterday without me being there. I had a lot of work to do preparing for today and working on cars, but I know that Brother Jose has an enjoys things as I do, and has a joy in serving the Lord. And I would ask that you would lift him up in your prayers this night. And one of the things that I know Jose does is really put forth the word of God and what he has put on his heart. So with that, I'll turn the service over to our brother Jose Galvan.
Thank you so much. Gracias por tus buenas palabras, hermano. Shall I continue in Spanish? Because it's easy for me. No, truly, thank you so much. I appreciate it. And you know, a lot of the times my worst fear is that when I stand in front of you, my fear is that I stand here without a word to say. And like, studying is very important. And a lot of the times I think I overdo it as I'm working on a sermon. And so my fear is that I'm gonna stand up here and just not a word coming out of my mouth. And so much that my stomach kind of goes all over the place. And my other fear is that as I'm speaking, I might burp. And that won't be good. So I'm like, have to swallow that air. But I don't think I haven't heard anyone burp over the microphone. I don't know what it sounds like, but I want to find out. Hopefully I won't be the first to do something like that. But I'd like to thank you to all of you for being here, for taking the time to be here. It's really encouraged for whoever is preaching when there's people on the benches. It's something that we appreciate it. I mean, it doesn't really matter who how many people will be in church, because you know the scripture says the word is 1, 2, 3, or 4. I mean, the Holy Spirit is present. So it doesn't matter if it's 3 or 20 or 100. It would be nice to see the church full. So much things going on these days, and it's understandable. And so our prayers is to continue, that God will continue touching people's hearts to be here. To be here and hear the word. I mean, it's through this live streaming, it's much easier, you know, just to sit comfortable on your couch. But I ask in a humble way that, you know, we need to try to be here. I mean, like I said, there's a lot of obstacles or things that can prevent you from being here. But, you know, God's word, thank you to those electronics that we are able to hear no matter where or what part of this country or world you are. So I'm thankful for that. Another word is the, you know, if we focus on ourselves into these things, we can get ourselves in trouble too. So I don't focus too much into these electronics. You can see I have a picture here that says, "I only kneel before God." I was contemplating this word, kneel or kneeling. And it has a lot of important information or things behind that. And, you know, and through the scriptures we read, even, you know, the personage and people in the Bible you know, it's an example for us that we follow. Even now, the kneeling is very important. I have other pictures here that I want to show you guys and share with you. And I kind of noticed that, you know, when you type, you know, what is a kneel, what a kneel means, you know, there's just a whole lot of information. But I see the a lot of sports teams, sport teams, soccer teams, football teams. I kind of noticed that they kneel a lot before their game. It's a way to be humble, to be especially in the kneeling in front of thousands of people, and you know, not care about what the people would think or what their what is their point of view or what message they're sending by doing that. And I think that when they do that, it's like it's appreciated, because these days people is embarrassed to do something like that. I mean, you know, sometimes we feel like shame to be a Christian, which is, you know, God has called us to be more than that. And, you know, when you see other people doing something like that, and you see it, you notice, and you are a follower of Christ, and you feel a little shame about that, because you should be a good example to others as that person. Especially, like, I don't know if you guys do it when we are in a restaurant and we are about to sit down and or I mean not to meet, and you pray over the food, other people sees you. They sees you that you do that, and I know it has happened to a lot of you, and it happened to me and my brother Jerry Case. We were eating breakfast. We were having breakfast at this restaurant, and so when we were ready to eat, we offered prayers over our food, and the waitress came, and they're like, when we finished, they're like, your bill has been taken care. You know, somebody paid for you guys. And we started just kind of looking around like, who did it? You know, like, and there was a group. There was a group of quite a few guys. They seem to be like veterans. And so one of them at the end, he did approach us and told us, you know, that they appreciate seeing that there's still people up there who is not ashamed of Christ and you know, and do those things. So those little tiny things, it can make a big difference in somebody else's life. And so let's not forget that. So kneeling is something that has to do with that, you know, it has it's sending a lot of messages up there. So in most cases, kneeling is considered as a ritual act of last resort that usually takes place in front of God. It is also seen as a sign of submission for those for victims' positions when you feel that you are in danger. I mean, you know what? It's something. It comes out that, you know, when you know that you are not gonna when whatever you are, you know, kneeling is something that is like, it's not more like you're giving up, but it's more like you're submitting yourself, like humbling yourself. They you know, for our forgiveness. So you know, when we kneel for sacrament, a lot of people, you know, we say those who are able. I know the kneeling sometimes is, it can be pretty painful. It can be pretty painful to be on your knees for quite a few hours. Our reunion is coming next month, and we'll be experiencing those those moments. But you know, by doing that, you're showing that you have respect and you have that you are humble to God, that you're not a rebel and you're not like, I'm not gonna kneel, I'm gonna, why should I kneel? You know, when we own him so much, we own him so much. And so by kneeling ourselves to God is asking him for forgiveness. Forgiveness of anything, you know, sins, forgiveness of your acts, you know, forgiveness of you, you know, things that you may say. That's the good thing about it. That's the good thing about it. They by being a Christian, a follower of Christ, you have that open door that you, where, that you know that you, when you mess up, you have that open door that God is, has for you in a way that you can go in and ask for forgiveness. Because that's who he is. He is God of love. He's a full of grace. And all he has to do, all you have to do is humble yourself and acknowledge the sin that you have committed, the mistake that you just did, the words that you just say, maybe trying to show up in front of someone just to fit in as a young people. I know you guys have a really hard time and you like under pressure to act different in front of somebody else and not being yourself who you really are. But you know what? God loves you and he's willing to forgive you. You know, so as long as we have breath in our lungs and we are alive, every day that we get up, it's a chance for you to come to him. I told my wife that I think my sermon will be shortly, because I don't have that many slides to show, but I think I do talk too much sometimes. With that, I'm going to show a few pictures here that it shows all kinds that you know, the people kneel for whatever reason. But the message is up there that they're humbling themselves. And so here we have this soccer team that they are getting ready to start the game. So they are kneeling. So I have here it says when it's a good time to kneel. You know, a lot of the times, like I say, it has nothing to do with animals or but when an animal, like especially like a dog, when he knows that he cannot fight with this other dog who might be bigger than him, what did he do? And I know you guys know to say that he rolls over and shows his stomach. He is like surrounding himself, knowing, hey, you know, you're bigger than me. I can't win with you. I'm just, you know. I can, you know, it's like surrounding, pardon or asking for forgiveness, you know, it's a dog. But it's the same things that a lot of the times we have to, when we find ourselves in trouble, that's the last thing you want to do, humble yourself and acknowledge that you just can't do it by yourself. A football team, the unit too, and then it's a lot of, when I noticed that I see more like football, especially football teams that they offer that when they went before their game, and it's like that's pretty amazing what they do. And so, and that's why I was very interested into these things. What is kneeling mean? Another way that you use kneel is very important when you try to, what's the word? Propose, yes. That day is very special. So by proposing to your future wife, kneeling, it has a lot to do. You know, I can see that by kneeling, hey, I'm here for you. I'm asking you to be my partner of life. And by kneeling, making you a promise that I will take care of you, I will work with you. I just want you to be part of my life. And by kneeling is like making a promise right there. So for those youngest ones, don't forget to do that when that time comes. Okay, I think Brother Aaron brought this once in his sermon of having a little accident. And what do you do when you have an accident? You knew it, but in a way you're like, oh man. You know, something you don't want to deal with. It's insurance, police reports, and all that stuff. So that guy is kneeling because he's like, he knows what's coming. He knows what's coming. Another way that they use kneel is like when you offer to clean. For those guys out there who likes to do that, I like to be part of it, work in the house. And so is this unique for many, many reasons. And I just can keep going and going. Another thing that you need for is if you have a business. And so when you have a business, and this is something that you see more in Mexico, maybe not here. But people kneel even before they start their sale, so can everything goes well, you know. They're offering this to God, you know, for him to open the doors for them as they getting ready to open their whatever the hot dog stand, taco stand. I don't know what it is, but yeah. So that's really, really amazing. And then you know, if people will see that, you know, this guy is like something that is a good example. It's a good example that we, it doesn't matter what is you need. The point is that you have to offer everything to God. That is the main point. And I did run into a lot of interesting comments and things that they, you know, that in many, many countries, you know, we follow, or they do a different way to either bow themselves or to kneel. And I read online that, you know, in the Asian countries, they do that a lot. And that's a sign of respect, a sign of thank you, a sign of appreciation. So kneeling is like when you feel that you are in danger, like I said, it's a good example to follow and to do that. And so we read in the Bible in Matthew, and for those who are following me, I don't have it up there, but in Matthew 18:23-27, it says, therefore, this is Christ speaking, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought into him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for so much as he had not paid, his lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. And the servant therefore fell down and worshiped him. He fell down, he kneeled him, come imploring to him, you know, don't do this. This is my family, my kids, my wife, saying, Lord, have patience with me. And I will pay thee. Then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. You know, this is the things that when you feel that you are in trouble, when you feel that that's it and there's not much you can do, the king is trying to get whatever he all these talents that he this person owns him, and in his heart, I cannot imagine what it feels like to take your family away. So he has to do whatever he can to implore to this king. I've not do that, but if you know the rest of the story, he got off at that situation, but he turned around and do the same thing to one of his debtors, and he did not forgive him. And so what comes around goes around. I don't know if that even makes sense, but it meaning it can save your life. It can save your life. In Alma, and this verse right here, it really brought my attention, because Alma it talks about the Captain Moroni when he forgave what was his name, Saram Hemna or something like that. They make this peace with them. They will not destroy them, but they turn around after many years and they start with their ways, with their old ways. And so it says right here in Alma 21:43, this is Moroni, and he bowed himself to the earth and he prayed mighty unto his God for the blessings and liberty to rest upon his brethren so long as there should be a band of Christians remain to possess the land. So after Moroni fought with these Lamanites and the Saram Hemna, here comes someone with different doctrines to turn the people around and the people's hearts, and they start to, you know, to get hard against the word of God, against his commandments. And so Moroni is having a hard time for this, so much that who is his, who to go other than God? So he bound himself, he to the ground, not just kneel, but to the ground and implore for him, for his people. That how can this be that after all this that he went through, we just never happy. As people, you know, we receive blessings from God and we just continue complaining. I was talking to Brother Gary about his message this morning. You know, there's a scripture I can't remember, but it's in Exodus about how these people were wandering around in the desert for 40 years. 40 years, just because that was like some type of punishment to them for not trusting in the Lord. We don't want to be in their shoes. Our life is pretty short. We had to continue in the dealing with this trial, being in this world full of temptations and obstacles that they can send us to different directions. And here we have these Israelites traveling or wandering around in this desert, can't get to Canaan land when it only supposed to take like 11 days to get there, and it took 40 years into the last one of the generation was gone. That is something, it's something that it should make you think about a little bit. You need to be more humble, more thankful, and just giving thanks and glorifying God for each day that we have. And not acting like these people who were able to see the wonders of God in their faces, the soul with their eyes. You know, people say today that God is not a God of miracles, but we have seen miracles here. We have seen miracles. And we're still here. We're still here. This small church, it might not be a big church, and we might not have all these things that these other churches have, but we're still here. And if you have heard the news or see it on TV, you know that a lot of churches are disintegrating because they're bringing all these doctrines into their churches that people don't agree with, the pastors and popes, and making all these different changes for their church, and people don't really agree with that. And so people start to walk away. One time, Brother Jay said it, you know, we have to be ready because we're going to have it's going to be a lot of work. It's going to be a lot of work, and we have to be prepared for those days. You know, when Brother, and one of the, I think it's in 1 Corinthians, Paul says something that, you know, that he has fed us with milk because we are not ready for the real meat. And a lot of the times, you know, I ask myself, none of the ministers come to me and trying to evangelize to me. I'm here because a church member, not because a minister. So what I'm trying to say is the work is not just for the minister. So you've been here long enough that you should have had the real meat. You know what is going to bring you and to be part of the eternal life. You know the way of salvation. You know that the only way is through Christ. We all know that. But there's a lot of people out there that they don't know. They have no idea how to be saved. And so by you being part of this church and know about Christ and be a follower of him, you are not having the milk only, but you have tasted the real meat. So that goes for each of you. I'm here because my wife is here because a church member whose name is Melanie. And, you know, a lot of the times that we had to go and knock on people's doors, we don't really have to. But when that opportunity comes, that you are able to witness Christ, don't waste it and just take it. Just take it. The other day I was in the 104, I was finishing up my ride. And I met this guy who was eating some type of nuts in the parking lot, and he said hi to me, and that's all I need. And so I started talking to him, and at the end, I started talking to him about our church. I gave him one of my cards. It has the address and the times of the service. And he said he's a single guy, and he was. He said he was really looking for a church, and so I pray that seed will grow in his heart, and for God someday he will be here. But you know, we should be aware of those things. So this guy who verse, his name is Amalekiah, who came and disturbed the hearts of these people when these people knew the truth, and it looks like when. We don't want to hear those things sometimes because it offends us. But what I'm saying is for our own good. It's just you cannot let anybody come and just trying to change your mind, my ways of thinking for what you already learned, you know already. You just have to be aware of those things. And that's why it's what it says, that we have a war. We are in a war every day. We fight. We fight continually towards not flesh, but spiritual things. They're trying to disturb your heart. So let us not that happen. As these people, they after Moroni fought for liberty, for his police, for his church, for his family, He fought for all these things, and what happened? You know, they just turned their back and started doing the wrong thing. And so that's why we had to come to God as Moroni there, humble ourselves all the way, because we are nothing. Without God, we are nothing. That's when you call for help. You know, I'm reading this book, and literally the name of this book is Help Me, I Can't Get Up. Have you guys heard that verse before? King Zedekiah, when God told him the things that he should do to humble himself and to acknowledge that without God, he is nothing. And then what happened to him? He was turned to some type of animal. But he, afterwards, he dared cry to the Lord, and the Lord helped him. There's so many examples up there that we can follow and do and see. You know, when you read your scriptures, it's not just reading, but when you read them, God is talking to you. A lot of the times I run into these verses, I'm like, oh man, what have I been missing? So, what does it mean when we kneel? Kneeling is almost a way to declare a sign of deference and respect. People kneel before kings and queens. People kneel before altars. We kneel to ask someone, like I just said, when we propose, or at least men did in those days. I don't know how it's been done these days. Did I kneel myself when I proposed to you? There you go. Good example. I didn't think I knew when I proposed my wife. It's been 26 years, so I have no idea. It's been 30 years. I just got myself in trouble, so it's okay. I have this nice couch in my patio. I just gotta grab a blanket then. But, you know, one of the things that it prevents you from you to do that is pride. That's another thing that we have to fight over and over, pride. And pride can keep you from doing anything. So that's a big challenge right there. Pride is a strong spirit. It can take over you, you know, even preventing you from say hi to your neighbor, even to our next person who sits up, you know, next to us in the bench. You know, pride. We need to get rid of pride. That's one of the things that I need to work myself to do that, because pride can take you far off and far off from the love of God. You know, and so. With that, my next slide is a simple that Christ showed us. Even Christ, being the Son of God and knowing all things and having the power of, you know, he speaks it in the stand. But when it was coming to the day, and he knew that day was coming, he kneeled before his Father and asking him, you know, this is what you want me to do. It's going to do you well and not mine. And so those are the things that we have to do, you know, just try or at least do the best you can, do you well, meaning to do those things. Perhaps you consider yourself that you are not able or you're not good enough. That's what I told my brother when he asked me to be a pastor assistant. I'm like, I don't think I can be a good pastor. I've never done that. What am I supposed to do? And he's like, well, I'll be your guide. So I'm trusting him, my brother, to teach me something that I don't know, that I have no acknowledge. And that's what God, we read his scriptures, he will teach us. He will show us the way. He will show us how, when. Because his time is always the perfect time. Let's not forget that. His time is the perfect time. So perhaps I will not be the best pastor assistant, but I'm going to try. I'm going to give it a try. And if I just not doing a really good job, you know, you guys let me know. And to start with, I don't even know what I'm supposed to do. So, but I'll be here. I'll be here for you. If you have anything that you need to talk to me, if I can help, I'll be here. Here we have Christ kneeled before his Father asking him for help. He humbled himself. Matthew 26:39. And he went a little farther, fell on his face, and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will." It's not me. And by doing it by myself, it won't happen. You have to rely on God. We have quite a few years ahead of us. And our prayer is that we have to lean on him always and not lean on the arm of flesh, because what did it say? It will fail you. In Philippians 2:8, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." He humbled himself. This is Christ. Well, Paul is making this verse right here in Matthew clear. He humbled himself. He was obedient unto death. I want to be obedient myself. I want to be obedient. I don't want to be the last sheep and that he will come looking for me. I want to do the best I can that I may find myself worthy and find myself able to be part of his kingdom. I don't need, you know, he said in his city, you will not need anything. There will be no more death. There will be no more crying, no more pain. It's like your body will be, like normal, like never. If you were a cripple, if you have issues, you will be not suffering any of those things anymore. I just want to be part of his kingdom. I want to be able to be obedient and to humble myself, to kneel, and always give him the glory. In Matthew 26:40-43, "And he came unto his disciples and found them asleep, and saying to Peter, what could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation." That's the thing that we have to always. And by kneeling is, you know, this is when you do that and you kneel and pray, you know, they say that Satan suffers. He does not like that. So don't feel discouraged that you think that God doesn't hear you, because those messages, they don't come from God, they come from the enemy. And he's the father of the lies, and he will continue fighting, you know, and giving you those thoughts that you're not worthy. Don't fall into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And then he went away again in the second time and prayed and said, "Oh, my Father, if this cup may pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." And he came and found them sleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and he just laid them. He kneeled 3 times. He humbled himself to his Father. And this is a really good something that we should follow. And don't you think that you are better than anyone, that you do not need to kneel, because that is what the enemy wants of you. And you have to fight that thought. And right here, I didn't put where this book was. But let's read it. And it looks like it's, I didn't put the verses number, but it's just about Joseph. Joseph was a good example that when he was, in jail, his patience, he didn't fight over, they put him in jail, they accusing him of things that were not true. So I'm going to read it, and I am so sorry, but I forgot to put the verses number in the chapter. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, and in the eyes of all the servants, and Pharaoh said unto his servant, can we find such as one as this, and a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou should be over my house, and according to thy word, shall my people be ruled. Only in the throne will be the greatest than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took up his ring and put it in his hand, and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck, and he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried out before him, bowed the knee, and he made him ruler over the land of Egypt. So, but he was thanking him. Did anybody find out where this came from? Where is it? Genesis? Genesis 41. Thank you so much. So Genesis 41, 27 to 43. Joseph was a good example of the suffering that he went through, especially with his brothers, who always were against his dreams and his thoughts that God was giving him, because he was the youngest one. He was mistreated. He was mistreated, and they didn't believe him. They didn't listen to him. And a lot of the times, it can happen to any of us, especially if I'm the second youngest one myself of 10. And if you have heard me, I was trying to show them, the way of salvation, but none of them listen. Tradition is heavy. Tradition is strong. It's bigger than a lot of the times what you say, knowing. But they don't know. It's something ignorant. That's what it is. So they believe in something that they can see, not something that they don't see. And so how can you fight that, just to keep them in your prayers, and perhaps someday God will touch their hearts. And so by the things that Joseph did, he ended up helping pretty much, the whole house of Israel. The acts that they went through, it was not his brothers, it was not him, it was all God. It was all God. And he told him, by you selling me to as a slave and treating me the way, it was not you. It was all God's plan. That's why I said God's plan is always the perfect plan, the perfect time. Can't fight, can go against that. 2 Nephi 13, 30 to 31, wherefore, if you should press forward, fasting upon the word of Christ and endure to the end, behold, thou says the Father, you should have eternal life. And that is our goal. Our goal is to be with him, like I said, to be part of the eternal life that he offers. I was reading the last two chapters of Revelations. And in those two chapters, if you don't know what you're here for, and if you never heard the salvation is to Christ, those two chapters, But they're so clear. They're so clear. And you read the promises, all the promises that Christ has for you when we will face him in his holy throne. So I think it's 20 and 21 of Revelation. The last two chapters, if you guys have chance, read those and you will see. And now behold, my brother, 31, now behold, my brethren, this is the way, and there is none other way, no name given under heaven, whereby man can be saved in the kingdom of God. This is the promise that we look for, brothers and sisters. And so when temptation comes and all those things, don't give it away, just like what his name give the firstborn, first birth for a cup of soup. Don't give it away. For as much, even if they give you the iPhone 15, don't give that away, because our promise is more bigger than the anything else, the anything that this world has to offer you. If you remember when Satan told Christ to the highest point, the mountain, and showed him all the cities, countries, treasures, he's like, worship me and I give you all this. First of all, you know, it was created by him, but no. You do only worship God. That's what he told him. I don't need to have all this. We're going to leave this world and leave everything behind. We're not going to take anything with us. You can't trade your eternal life for something that is material, for something that's not going to last, for something that you're not going to take with you. Those are the fights that we have as Christians. We fight every single day, every single hour. So we have to learn how to be content with what we have. And this is something that is for myself too a lot of the times. Proverbs 25:6-8. Put not forth thy soul in the presence of the king, and stand not in the place of a great man, for better it is that if we say unto thee, come up higher, that thou shouldest be put lower in the presence of the prince, who thine eyes have seen. Go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do, and at the end thereof, when thy neighbor hath put thee to shame. And I take this in a way that no matter what it is, you can't feel yourself, you can't make yourself like you higher than everybody else. If you humble yourself in a way that other people will see, you will be the greatest, right? That's what Christ said. You can't be a high shot, big shot in front of all others, because you never know. You never know. That's a really good experience. Brother Gary said it once, you know, I have learned that a lot of the times it's better to keep your mouth closed and not say anything when you know that everything is going in the wrong way. So by not making things worse, it's just better to say anything else, because obviously their mind has been made. So in Philippians 4:11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Content. Be content with what you have. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructor both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. But what did he say at the end? I can do all things to Christ which strengthens me. As long as we have our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in our lives, you will be able to to go through those obstacles, to those things that we deal with every day in our lives. Trust in the Lord. Always trust in the Lord. And He will heal you. A lot of people say, I pray and I don't receive any blessings, but you have. You have. You just don't notice what those blessings are. What do they say? Look around and He appreciated. Be appreciated that you're still breathing. That's the simple fact. But I don't need to win the lottery for me to be happy. I'm rich already in Christ Jesus. That's my thoughts. And I can back that. So in Philippians 2:10, bow before our King, that in His name all things shall pass. That at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, all things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth. When that day comes, that you see, as He says, that He will come in His glory in the clouds of the sky. When you see Him coming down, everybody will be afraid. Everybody will be scared. But not us. Our time has come. And we will be victory. Whoever is afraid of this day is because they don't know Christ. And He's saying that day, when that day comes, they're going to cling to the rocks, to the mountains, fall on us to cover us. They're going to be looking for dead, but dead won't be found. It's going to be a lot of suffering. These are the things that we have to look forward. Always be with Christ and endure to the end. And only to Christ will be able to do this. Psalm 63:4, thus will I bless thee while I live, and I will lift my hands in thy name. I will bless my Father any time. I will worship Him and honor Him. And Revelations 5:7-8, and He came and took the book of the right hand of Him that sat upon the throne. This is the vision that John had. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 20 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And we have a lot to learn, especially to that acknowledge that we are nothing, and only one is worthy to lay down. That's Christ. He is the only one that is able to open these seals. He is worthy of everything. He is worthy of you worship Him. He is worthy of all those things. And He's the only one that we should kneel to Him, because there's no one else. When John was trying to kneel and worship the angel, what did he say? Don't do that, because I am your fellow servant. I am like you. I'm a servant. Worship God. Worship Christ. Not me. Don't worship any man. Only Him who died for you. And then this day, and this verse is the Kohen, the Lamb of God, who was sacrificed on the cross. We're going to be getting ready for sacrament, and we're going to learn and hear more about these things, why we should worship Him. And my last slide here is in Luke 14:16-24. Then said He unto him, a certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servants at supper time to say to them, they were biting, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first saying to him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must need to go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another say, I have bought 5 yokes of oxen, and got to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another say, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So thy servant came and showed this to his lord. These things, then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servants, go out quickly into the streets and lines of the city, and bring hither the poor, the maimed, and the halt, the blind. And the servants say, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord saying to the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were biden shall taste of my supper. To me, these people, I mean, one had 5 jokes, the other one have acres of land, the other one got married. It's like they were pretty wealthy. I don't need to go to this supper. I don't need anything from you. I don't need to come to this wedding, to this banquet, whatever, how they take it. This is what money and richness do to you. You know, the Vocal Movement talks about that, that they so quickly forget when they God blessed them, you know, and many years later, their richness blind them because the wealthiness, and they forget about God. These people, it seems to me that they had the same issue. Only the poor will be more understandable the needs that we have. You know, at the end, like I said, you will be richer than anybody else. Our reward is not here, it's in heaven. So the question is, are we, you know, followers of Christ? Are we are crucified? Are we bearing our cross with Christ? By doing this, we show the way that we are responsible, we take responsibility, and we help our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, counting up on them to come, this supper, these people, they now took that special invitation. And when we come to celebrate or to not celebrate, but to be part of the sacrament, to partake of that, we remember his suffering. We remember his promises to continue doing these things until the day come. And by doing these things, we'll be part of his kingdom, and that is our goal. That is our goal, to be part of his kingdom, that we may have, you know, the opportunity to enjoy all this that he has promised to us. It's something that is a task in our lives, something that is not easy. But with the help of his Holy Spirit, who guide us and direct us, this we can make it happen. And the invitation is up there. Invitation is up there for whoever wants to be part of his kingdom. Never judge by the book, by his cover. You know, we have to be careful with us with that, and more like by his fruits, by his works, we'll be able to tell who is a true follower, or who is looking for the truth, who is looking for the salvation, who is looking for Christ. And with that, well, it will be my my thoughts for tonight. Hopefully I was able to make a point, and other than I can ask by humbling ourselves, it means a lot, you know, for our people, for the church, and for God, because our trust and our hope is in Him. Thank you.